Dave and team, thank you so much for leading us in a time of worship to our God this morning. Good morning, church. It's good to be here this morning. It's good to see everyone. And aren't we so blessed to know that the Spirit of God is upon us and is working in our favor. I'm going to try to get through this as quickly as possible this morning, not so as not to keep you too long. But if you have your Bibles, why don't you open up to Genesis chapter 41. And we're going to read a couple of verses, starting at verse number 1. So from verse 1. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile, when out of the river there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 heads of corn, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads of corn sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of corn swallowed up the 7 healthy full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of our captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was hanged." So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. I'm going to skip on to verse 25. Basically, the other verses is Pharaoh sharing with Joseph the dreams again. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good heads of corn are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The 7 lean, ugly cows that came up after they did are 7 years, and so are the 7 worthless heads of corn scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance of Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered because the famine that follows will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in 2 forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take 1/5 of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of those good years that are coming and store up the corn under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come up upon Egypt, so the country may not be ruined by the famine." The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." Let us pray and commit this word to God. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your Spirit and your presence here with us. Lord, thank you that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. That the sons and daughters of God standing together will stand in the face of any enemy. And God, this morning as your word is shared, I pray that you would share. Lord, that it be your words, not my own. God, that I'd just be a vessel. And Lord, that every heart here would receive your word with gratitude and take it out into their week and use it in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to think for a moment, what is the craziest dream you've ever had? The craziest dream, or the most weird dream you've ever had. I once dreamt, it was actually the other day, I dreamt that I was sitting in my lounge watching TV, and the curtains were like closed except for like a little bit of a gap in between them. And I saw movement, so I peered out, and there was this face looking in. And so I got up, and I thought with all my manliness, I'm going to breathe in, and I'm going to shout so loud that this guy's going to flee and pee in his pants when he runs. And so I breathe in all the strength I can get, and I go, and nothing. Nothing comes out. Have you ever had a dream when you try and shout and nothing comes out? That's what was happening to me. Regardless to say, the guy thought I was quite funny and broke in anyway. And then I woke up. But however, this is nothing. Okay, my dream, weird as it may be, is nothing compared to the weird dream that Pharaoh had. Just to recap, 7 cows come out of the water, nice big fat cows, cows that you want, and they're grazing, and then 7 thin, ugly, scrawny cows come up and eat them and stay thin and scrawny and ugly. Same thing happens with the grain. Nice, full heads of grain waving in the wind, and these ugly ones come up and eat them and are still ugly. These are the dreams that Pharaoh had. Both dreams seem to be saying the same thing, but just in a different way. If you or I had to have a dream like this, we'd probably shake it off as something weird or, you know, just another dream that you have at night. But to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians, dreams were important. Every single one meant something. That is why Pharaoh had so many wise men and magicians interpreting his dreams for him, because every single one of them meant something. And with this dream specifically, it's no wonder he's so desperate to find out what it is, because it's completely and utterly bizarre. Usually, when he gathers his magicians and wise men, they would interpret his dream for him and tell him, this is what it means, this is what's going to happen. But none of them could do so. None of them. None of them. So up until this point, in the scriptures here, this passage seems like a great story, all right, with a couple of twists, maybe a bit of mystery. You're like, ooh, who's going to interpret the dreams? All right, what do they mean? And then somewhere along the line, someone is bound to come and interpret them. Someone's bound to come and say, okay, well, reveal, this is what it is. And we know that Joseph does that. He comes. But however, this moment here is not just Joseph interpreting dreams, but it's throughout Joseph's whole life, the beginning of God's plan starts to become unveiled. All right? It starts to become known to Joseph. So let us quickly refresh our memory. Potiphar's wife, all right, falsely accuses Joseph, and he gets put in prison. She has a claim that has no truth, and he gets falsely imprisoned. While in prison, Joseph finds favor in the eyes of the captain of the guard. We read that. Or we didn't read that, but it's in the previous chapter when he's imprisoned with the baker and the cupbearer, and we'll get to that just now. And he finds favor. He's free to move around the prison. He's free to engage with any of the prisoners. And while he's there in prison, 2 state officials, all right, 2 servants of Pharaoh, get thrown into prison. They were suspected of poisoning him, and they get chucked into prison. And each of these guys has a dream. And one day, Joseph comes in and says, why are you looking so down? Why are you looking so sad? And they said, no, I had this dream, he had this dream, we don't know what it means. So Joseph says, come, let me interpret for you. And he interprets the dream, and he tells the cupbearer, you're going to be restored. And he tells the baker, you're going to be hanged. Not the news you would want to hear, hey? So at this time, Joseph's interpretation of their dream shows that he possesses no common power. It's something incredible, something supernatural. The power of God and his Holy Spirit is upon Joseph. Joseph asks one favor of the cupbearer when he gets released. One favor. He says, when something good happens and you get released, tell Pharaoh about me. Get me out of prison. One thing. I can't help see the symmetry between Joseph and Jesus. Here Joseph is in a prison with 2 men, 2 thieves. One of them get set free, one of them dies. And when we think of Jesus, when he was hanging on the cross between two thieves, two criminals, one of them receives Jesus and lives in eternity, and the other one doesn't and dies eternally. Joseph and Jesus, these stories match. As I was preparing, I've come to notice in the Old Testament that nearly every story matches up with Jesus. What is our whole faith about? Jesus. So it's no wonder that the entire Bible, the entire book would be about Jesus in every sense of the way. Joseph asked one favor of the cupbearer. When the cupbearer gets released from prison, what does he do? He goes to Pharaoh and he tells him, please release Joseph, right? No, he forgets. He forgets because he's come into good fortune and he doesn't have to worry about anyone else now. He's got his position back, and that's all that matters. Just when things seem to be getting better for Joseph, it doesn't. It seems that he never wins. Where many would look at the situation and believe that God's deserted him, God is no longer in Joseph's life, we can see now how God honors Joseph. We'll see in the next few verses how he honors Joseph because of Joseph's trust in God. His unending, unwavering trust in God. No matter what the circumstance was, he trusted God and he honored God. The Bible says that after 2 whole years, Pharaoh had a dream. So that means that 2 years, Joseph was in prison after the cupbearer was released. 2 whole years. And I finally thought about. But why is it only now that Joseph is remembered? Why didn't the cupbearer remember him earlier? Surely he would have remembered, oh, this guy was kind to me. I must tell Pharaoh about him. The reason is because of what the cupbearer remembers about Joseph, not who Joseph was, what he remembers about Joseph. What did he remember about Joseph? What did Joseph do for him? He doesn't remember a man wanting to get out of prison, or an innocent person who just showed kindness once upon a time. What he remembered about Joseph was that Joseph can interpret dreams. That's what he remembered about him. So when the time came for Pharaoh's dream to be interpreted, no one else could do it, cupbearer finally and suddenly went, oh my goodness, I've suddenly remember. And the Bible says that he says, today I'll read it for you now. He says to Pharaoh, today I'm reminded of my shortcomings. Today I'm reminded of my fault, where I have an error. I forgot to tell you about this man. And he says, while I was in prison, there was this Hebrew man there who interpreted dreams. And this is what it said. That I would be restored, the other man would be hanged. And it came to pass. This man can do it. Joseph can do it. Can you see the timing and planning that God has used to make this come to pass? Only when Pharaoh needed it was Joseph remembered. Many of us would have, by the second month in prison, would have gone, oh, God's forgotten me. That's it. 2 years in prison, Joseph trusted God. And now his time was coming. God was weaving together these events in his perfect timing for the good of Joseph. So now Joseph is released from prison. Pharaoh is aware of his ability to interpret dreams, and he sent for him. And the Bible says he's quickly brought from prison. You can see the urgency Pharaoh has to interpret this dream, to find out what it means. But an interesting thing here is that he did not come before him until he had shaved and changed his clothes. Interesting. Don't you think that if he was so eager to find out what this is, he would have just brought him as he is? Reason being is that Egyptians don't take kindly to mess and to an appearance that is bad. They need you to be cleanly shaven. Hebrews love beards. I would have been a good Hebrew. All right? But Egyptians don't. They're clean shaven. And that's what shows respect for a Pharaoh. When you come before him, clean shaven, good clothes. Perfect cleanliness and appropriate dress was so important. Even the most urgent of matters were postponed until they were properly dressed. So this very principle is a reminder for each of us to check our hearts daily. Let me explain what I mean. So many of us are so careful about our appearance before man, yet so careless about our appearance before God. And it's not a physical appearance. It's a heart appearance before God. When we come before him, we're so careless of the sins we've committed. We're so careless of what we've done or who we are, of who he is. Sometimes we have no reverence and no respect for him. We just come before him as a buddy. And God is our friend, but he's more than that. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. The Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks here, inside. Yes, you've got to be respectful. And yes, when we come to church, we dress appropriately, we dress nicely. But when you come before God, whether here in this building, whether at home, whether at work, and you kneel before him, where you are, when your heart is right, that is when your appearance matters before God. F.B. Meyer says it like this. Many a man who would not think of entering a drawing room if his linen were not snowy white is quite content to carry within his breast a heart as black as ink. I'm going to read that again. Many a man who would not think of entering a drawing room if his linen were not snowy white is quite content to carry within his breast a heart as black as ink. When we have come before God, it matters. Not to us, to him. It matters to him. That we come before him with a heart of humility, a heart of sorrow, a heart, even a broken heart, because that means that he can now work in us. We place far more importance on the opinion of man than we do on the reverence of God. So Joseph is asked to interpret. But I love how he responds. Many of us would have said something like, yes, Pharaoh, I can do it. Okay, God's gifted me with the ability to interpret dreams. I'll do it. Joseph doesn't say that. He says, I cannot do it. But God will give to Pharaoh the answer he desires. Joseph is fully aware that God works through him to interpret dreams. He's able to. But he knows where the power comes from. It's not his own. It's God's. It's God's work through him that makes the difference. It's not his ability, but his availability to God and God's Holy Spirit that makes the difference. We like to think we can do things without God, even though he gifted things with us. Gifted us with things. Sorry, your English is terrible this morning. It's only when we are forced to rely on God and his leading power and strength that our character begins to mature. And then our gifting makes a difference. A lasting difference. So up to this point, God has allowed mostly suffering to take place in Joseph's life. But still Joseph gives God the credit that is due. The Lord, not I. The Lord, not I. So he goes on and interprets the dreams for Pharaoh, saying that both dreams are one and the same. They both mean the same thing. There will be 7 good years of harvest and then 7 years of drought. He says, God, after he's told him this, he says, God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. He's there. He said it again. Not I, but the Lord. God has done it, not me. I wonder how quick we are sometimes to steal the glory of the Lord in situations like Joseph. When we're faced with someone, maybe their desire and their intention is completely innocent. They want to just encourage us and say, well done, you're really doing a good job. And we say, thank you, I know I am, hey. It's great to do that, you know. And if I'd said that in the office, Mark would have been like, oh Lord, it's hard to be humble. But that's sometimes what we're like. And all of us, we're at fault. Myself, Mark included. Yeah, not Mark. Not Mark. My mom made some humble pie. You can have some after church. But we always reply, yes, I can, or yes, I did. When really it's God in us that did it. And we need to give God the glory that is due and stop stealing from him. Like Mark said last week, God honors those who give honor to him. And let us see now how God does that. Joseph, he interprets this dream of these dreams of Pharaoh, and he tells them what he means. Tells them, okay, it was God. But then he doesn't stop. Like most of us would be like, okay, I've done my job, let's stop. He goes on. He's like, let me give you some advice. And he says, so Joseph explained it, what it meant, and then he says, the Bible says there, the reason Pharaoh had two dreams instead of one, is that the matter had been firmly decided by God. Firmly decided by God. And God will do it soon. So he could have asked, why I had two dreams? Why not one enough? Maybe one wasn't enough. Maybe two was, you know, I need to make it clear to you, this is what's going to happen. And this is what the Bible says. It had been firmly decided by God. I tell you now, friends, that nothing will come to pass unless God has decided it. Nothing. Something in your life, even a decision you make, will only come to pass because God has allowed it to come. When you're struggling with a decision to go here or go there, and you're seeking God for it, God will allow you to make the decision if it's for your good and if it's for his glory. Nothing can come to pass without God's say-so. He goes on to give this advice, and he says, to survive this drought, you need to put in place certain things. You need a wise and discerning man, a wise and discerning man to be in charge of preparing Egypt for the drought. And it seems that because of Joseph's boldness to give God credit, even amongst many people, in the face of many people, I don't know how willing you would be if you had to go receive an award, I don't know, in the town. Maybe you were a good community leader, or you did something for the community, and now the mayor wants to congratulate you, so he gets you in front of the town, and he gets up and he says, well done, shakes your hand, and he gives you like a little key to the city or whatever. All right, you get that. I wonder how many of us would be bold and brave enough to stand up and go, God gets the glory. To God be the glory. Because that is a true sign of character and of a trust in God. And Pharaoh says, can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God? One in whom is the Spirit of God. Pharaoh appoints Joseph to be in charge not only of the project of preparing Egypt for the drought, but fully in charge of every single thing in Egypt. So here's Joseph, been left in a pit, sold into slavery, accused of something he didn't do, put into prison, and now lifted to the highest point. Only God can have orchestrated that. Only God could have weaved those events together. What I find interesting is how Pharaoh recognizes the Spirit of God in Joseph's life. When he says this, he says, who can we find like this man in whom is the Spirit of God? He recognizes the blessings, the favor, the Spirit of God on Joseph's life. Not because of anything Joseph did, but because of the credit that was given to God. He could see the fruit of what was happening in Joseph's heart and in his life. Apart from God and his power, Joseph would not have been able to interpret the dreams, and in turn would not have been appointed to where he was in Egypt. And we will see in the coming week, as Mark shares next week to end off the series, why Joseph needed to be in a position of power, why he needed to be up there when his family comes to Egypt. It's clear to me that Joseph is beginning to reap the rewards of his trust and his honor in God. And I want to ask today, how many of you trust and honor God in the way Joseph does? In every area of your life, without fail. We're human beings, we will fail. Let's just be honest about that. But when you realize you failed, do you run from God or do you run to him? Because when you run to him, you humble your heart, you receive his forgiveness, and you move forward in power with God. But when you run from him, you harden your heart, you become prideful, and you become reliant on yourself. And we know that that all leads to death. It leads to a place where you cannot contain yourself. You will eventually fail miserably. Every step of the way, Joseph showed complete integrity and surrender to God, even when the entire world, or what felt like the entire world, was against him. I believe that there's a huge reminder from God this morning. Them that honor me, I will honor. When you honor God in your workplace, when you honor God in your family, when you honor God in your finances, when you honor God in every single area of your life, God will. It's not a question of God might. It's God will honor you. And honor, it comes in different forms. It might come in a financial blessing. It might come with an extra family member if you're struggling to get pregnant. I don't know. Honor comes in different forms. And if you honor God, he will honor you. So my challenge for you this week is, in all you do, in all you say, in all you think, honor him, God the grand weaver. In every area of our lives, past, present, and future, is moving and allowing events to take place so that he would be lifted high and glorified, and that we would be blessed and honored as well. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning, and thank you for the challenge that you've laid upon our hearts, God. Lord, in the past few weeks, you've made it clear to us that there's no promotion without preparation. And God, I pray that as we walk a road with you, Lord, as we come before you daily with our shortcomings, with our sins, Lord, that you would forgive us, as your word says you will. And Lord, that you would give us a spirit that you've promised, a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of sound mind. Lord, that we may walk boldly in facing this world, honoring you every step of the way. God, when the enemy comes upon us in the form of friends, in the form of family, in the form of work colleagues, Lord, that with love we would fight that enemy. And God, that we would honor you and give you credit in whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. Whether it's down in the pit or up in the palace, you are the God who deserves it. You are the one who gets all glory. Take it from us, Lord. Humble our hearts so that we may see you as the one in charge and not our own, not ourselves. So God, I pray that you would give us strength to go this week, and that in everything we do say and think, to make sure that you are honored. And in return, God, as you see fit and in your own timing, your promise is that you will honor us as well. In Jesus' name, amen.